Now, Jackie is going to come and talk to us. She's all primed. She's one of our own. She's here every meeting, and I'm going to pray for you, Jackie. Let's just pray. Father, as we just stop for a minute, I just pray above all that we may know your presence with us, that we may hear from you. I thank you for Jackie. I thank you for all she is and all she does for you and the way she serves you. But I just pray that she opens her mouth and speaks, that you may speak through her. And that we may all hear from you. Just bless her now. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
First of all, as Mike said, my name is Jackie. So I've been coming to Food for Thought since it started, and it's been great to hear so many people talk about their faith in Jesus and their walk, and everyone's been different. It's our journey, and I've called my talk today, His Way, My Way. And I just wondered if the team that organises Food for Thought would stand so that we can see exactly who they are. Ruth may still be in the kitchen. So I wondered if the team would stand. There are some I know that can't be here. The organisers and the musicians, we're just very thankful. And these are the people that you can go to at any time. If you have any questions about God, anything at all, the Bible, church, anything, please feel free to talk to them. So it's my privilege today to share some of my journey with you. This is how it's going to go. It's going to be possibly about 20 minutes. There's just a few things I've pulled out of my life because I didn't think you'd want to be here until midnight. And the most exciting part is my journey to coming to know Jesus. And then, where are you on your journey? So Psalm 139, verse 14 tells us, how you made me is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. What you have done is wonderful. I know that very well. And Psalm 139 was my husband's favorite psalm, tells us just how God made us. He made us amazingly. And we are as unique as our fingerprints. Everyone is different, which is, when you think about it, the number of people that have ever lived, we all have different fingerprints. So I'm going to start with something really out of sequence, but that happened to me last December. This is last December, the Bath Christmas Market. I was with Sally Kurtzman, for those that know her, her and I. We were giving out Gideon Bibles, Good News for Everyone. And as we know, in Great Britain, we call it Good News for Everyone, Gideon's Good News for Everyone. And they're offered freely. They're put in prisons, hospitals, all over the place. They're offered freely for people. And, you know, it's when life really hits us hard is when we tend to pick up that Bible and have a look. So the story I want to tell you was Sally and I, we were stood in front of those amazing doors of Bath Abbey. And I'm sure most people are familiar with those amazing doors. So we were stood either side. It's quite a large area, giving out, offering the Bibles freely to people. And it's quite a challenge to start with, but once you get going, I quite love it because you never know the conversations you're going to have with people. And so we've stood there for quite a while, and I'd given out nearly all the Bibles that I was just offering them freely, had some great conversations with people. Some people didn't want them, some did, and some then wanted to tell their story. And I loved it. And then towards the end of our time, someone came up behind me, and it was when I turned round, he said, how are you selling this? How are you selling this? And I knew exactly what he meant, but I choose to take him literally. So I said, we're not selling these. These are Bibles. We're giving them freely, offering them freely to anyone that would like one. He said, no, that's not what I meant. I knew that wasn't what he meant, but I just... And he said, how are you selling this? How are you getting people to take them? And I said, I'm not. Just offering them freely to anyone that would like one. So he went on to tell me then about a business deal that he was in. And he wanted to know how to sell this to people. And I just thought, this is really, yeah, just, that was, I just said, well, God's word is free to anyone. It's not for sale. It's God's word is free. God has paid everything for this. And I think I probably would have offered him a Bible, but that bit I can't remember. But I'm sure I probably did. So that's just to something that happened to me. And I tend to get, these things tend to happen to sort of me at various times, depends what's going on. Okay, so next one. So this is my two brothers and I. I was born and brought up in Midsummer Norton with my mum and dad and two brothers. My dad was one of the initiators of the Radstock Mining Museum. And at the age of 12, he was a carting boy in the mine. And for those that locally know about mining, you know that it was the infamous Gus and Crook that he would have worn. He was an amazing gardener and a lovely dad. And my mum was a lovely mum. She taught me lots about sewing, knitting, and all that sort of thing. So I was very blessed with my parents and my two brothers. We went to church, not every week, but often. My dad was a server, and my two brothers were boat boys and then servers. For if you don't understand what that means, that's in the Anglo-Catholic Church, where you have high services. So I was christened and confirmed in that church, in the Church of England. So that's that little bit. The next little bit is a bit gory, but when I was 7 years old, I was out with a friends had been visiting a neighbour, and there was a girl my age, and we decided to go to the sweet shop. So she jumped on the wall near the sweet shop, which was made of boulders, and she jumped off, and it came with her, and it fell on me. She ran away, and so I was left lying on the ground, wondering what had happened, and I tried to sit up, and when I looked at my leg, it wasn't great. And interestingly, I was led there in the road, and obviously it was obvious the wall had collapsed, and someone looked and walked on. And then, so this little girl ran away, the person that came by just kept going, and then someone else came by, stopped, picked me up, took me to a house, looked after me, got my parents, ambulance, all that sort of thing. And when I came to know Jesus and I began to learn about the Good Samaritan, because I didn't know this, I've been confirmed and everything, I didn't know stories like this in the Bible. And I thought about the Good Samaritan, and I thought about that man that stopped. He cared enough to stop and pick me up and get me sorted. And I wrote to him, I wrote to that gentleman and thanked him just for looking after me. So that was when I became a Christian. And I love going to Sunday school at the chapel near me, and I know someone else did that as well. The scripture exams, I love doing those, and Sunday school anniversaries. And I remember Mr. and Mrs. Snelling, Mr. and Mrs. Barge, and Mr. and Mrs. Burge. I don't know if there's anyone else in the room, apart from one young lady that knows about them, but they were super, they were super. Moving on. My first job was with an accountant, and it was all mental arithmetic then, no machines. So that was quite an interesting experience, but it taught me a lot. It was a really good grounding. And then my next job, I became secretary to the managing director of a large local company. And when my lovely Pete and I got married, our home was about a mile down the road from where I was brought up. And when our babies started arriving, there we go, we were excited. It was super. And we discovered into my pregnancy that we were expecting twins. But our beautiful baby son, Nicola's twin brother, died. He was just 2 weeks old. And we were devastated, distraught. What do you do with your grief? There was no support at that time, no bereavement help with this huge loss. And it's great that we have this amazing bereavement course now that can help people over long-term loss or short-term loss, whatever it is. Life continued, and sometime later we were excited and thrilled when Gemma was born. When our girls were old enough, we took them along to the church where I'd been confirmed and where we got married at that time, there was a large, thriving Sunday school. And there's a saying which I've come across this year, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And the more you think about that, it's very true. Along our journeys, there are challenges. Big ones, terrifying ones, life-changing ones, disappointing ones, and saddening ones. So, jumping on several years, my mum died just before Christmas 1983, and she had been poorly for a long while. And at the time, a young neighbour, she was aged 21, was dying of breast cancer, and Pete and I had just attended her wedding. I felt helpless. I had so many questions and felt so much sadness and pain, and I had nowhere to go with this. These things get buried, don't they? And I'm sure maybe you have experienced that as well. So Romans 10, verse 14 says, but how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? This was me. I wonder if it's you. I'd never heard anything about knowing God in a personal way. The God I thought about was up there somewhere, distant and unknowable. New Year 1984, at an event, I was chatting with a colleague of my husband Pete's, and there was something different about him, and I was bold enough to ask him a really big question. Very much out of character for me, because that certainly was not me. And I wanted to ask him, do you believe in miracles? So my journey was getting underway. But I didn't know that I didn't know that. I wasn't aware that I was on a journey. But this person, God had put in place to help me to the next step, my journey of faith. I was now listening. After a long conversation where I asked many questions that I didn't realize were building up in me, he lent me a book by Isabel Chapman called Arise and Reap. I had never read anything like this. This book told the incredible story of Isabel Chapman, who, although a Christian of only 3 years, followed God's call to be a missionary to the Philippines. A truly special and remarkable story. And then God ordained that Billy Graham should come to Ashton Gate that year. And in the May 1984, that was an amazing opportunity to hear Billy Graham at Ashton Gate. And I went twice. I was blown away. Again, I'd never heard anyone speak about God and a personal relationship like he did. It was compelling. Well, I bought my first Bible when I was there, and this is it, and I've written inside it that I bought this at Ashton Gate. Now, I had no idea about different Bibles. This was the one I was advised to get, was a Good News Bible, which would be easy to understand, because we know that the King James, if you understand it, it's lovely, but our language changes over years, doesn't it? Our language changes and can mean different things. So we need sort of up-to-date language. And so this was I used this for a very long time until I was weaned off it onto the NIV. So I was still not a Christian. I didn't know it, but I was moving forward on my journey. I understand our beloved late Queen, she loved listening to Billy Graham, and often if he was in the country, she would have him come to the palace and talk about Bible and God. So, the 27th of September 1984 is my most wonderful time. Incredibly, I received an invitation to hear this lady that had written this book, Isabel Chapman, talk about her life at Welton Baptist Church. I definitely was not a confident person, and so going took a lot of courage. But I just had to go, and I don't think I'd been there before. So when Isabel started talking about her life, I was hearing and understanding a bit more. She talked about knowing Jesus and choosing to have him walk with her on her journey of life. That morning, she asked if there was anyone who wanted Jesus to be part of their journey. And I found myself out the front with several others saying yes to have Jesus lead my life. And as I sat back in my seat, I wept. Not sad tears, but tears of feeling cleansed from the inside out. I felt as light as a feather, but I felt just exhausted, drained. It was an amazing experience. Something had happened inside of me. I knew that now I was in God's family. I wanted to choose his way, his journey for me. And that was nearly 41 years ago, 27th of September, 1984, and it was about midday. It's so clear in my mind, in my heart, that God had done something amazing within me. But I knew nothing. I had so much to learn. Even though I went to a church and had been confirmed, I didn't know anything. So I was a baby Christian and needed to learn, be nurtured and encouraged. A door had been opened and I had stepped into another world, a way of living, of understanding. Over the years, God has opened up so much to me, and I am so thankful. I really wouldn't want it another way. It really is a different world when Jesus is in your life. But I do stress, I had such a lot to learn. I began to realize I didn't know anything. In fact, at Enfest this summer, I was chatting with someone and they said, are there any regrets in your life? And I said, my regret is that I didn't know Jesus sooner. John 1, 12 and 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. I had now become a child of God, adopted into his family, and I now have my identity in him. Now, two of my grandchildren were adopted into our family, so I have some understanding about that. And being brought into a family, they were given identity and are loved so much. No one else could make this decision for me or for you. It's a personal decision, and this is what the Bible teaches. When I began to learn and understand, it just opens up so much. My identity was now in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have become a child of God. God is faithful and trustworthy. We are not exempt from life's troubles, but we have hope, not as the world hopes with a question mark, but we hope as Christians. Hope has an exclamation mark at it, but hope is sure and certain, it's definite. Our hope is in Jesus. The journey of a seed. My Heavenly Father was no longer distant, but living in my heart by his Holy Spirit. But I needed to grow. A seed planted needs lots of help to make it grow. And as we've seen in our gardens this year, without water, our flowers and plants and things just die. And it's the same for us. If we profess to be Christians, we must feed and nurture our faith and build our relationship with Jesus. And God wants us to talk to him, to listen to him, and to read his letter to us, the Bible. and a saying that I came across a long time ago: whenever we open God's word, the author is always present when we read his word. And I like that sense of feeling that God's Holy Spirit is there when we're reading his word. And it has been my privilege to learn from so many great people, especially early on. And God continues to put people around me, and there is no end to learning and growing and serving. It's just the best life. It is just the best life. Christmas 2011, my lovely husband Pete, he had been battling aggressive skin cancer, went to be with his Saviour. He had come to know Jesus too, which was fabulous. So it was our joy for many years to journey together in faith. Faithful Christian friends and family supported us through this horrible time. And some of those that supported us are here today. We journey together as God's family. And God has prepared my path. It's been challenging, it's been hard, exciting, surprising, and awesome. And God gives me hope. And it was interesting, this has already been prepared, but we had an amazing speaker at church yesterday. And he prayed with me. He prayed with hundreds of people yesterday, I would imagine. Everybody wanted prayer. And he prayed for me. And that was the word that he put into my heart, was hope. And I thought, that's what I feel. God has given me hope. And I know there are many of you here who've gone through horrible things too and understand the pain of those things. Maybe not what I've gone through, but other things. We're often led to believe that we're all God's children. That's what John Lennon sang, didn't he? That when we die, we all go to heaven. But that is misleading and untrue. God doesn't twist anyone's arm. He gives us the choice to accept him. If we don't, then we are saying no. We are rejecting his offer of life with him when we die. And another saying is, tomorrow is promised to no one. We have just this moment to make that decision. Again, repeating from John 1, 12 and 13. To all who received him, Jesus, he gave us the right to become children of God. So it's about us accepting Jesus into our hearts and going his way. So how about you? Where are you on your journey? This is your opportunity to think, to stop, to make a choice. Are you wanting your journey in life to have hope and a purpose in relationship with a living God who loves you? If you choose God today, there is no promise that it will be easy, but it will be the most amazing decision you will ever make in your life. Maybe like me, you never knew Jesus was knocking on the door of your heart, saying, please invite me into your life. I love you. I died for you. And we see that verse in Revelation 3:20. It says, I stand at the door and knock, and the handle's on the inside of our hearts to open our heart to Jesus. Would you like to say yes to Jesus today, right now, to start your journey with him? Or did you make that decision a long time ago and the fire has gone out, like a hot coal taken from a fire and left to get cold? So now I'm going to pray for those that would like to ask Jesus into their life for the first time. And then I'm going to pray for those that would like to make a fresh start with him. So shall we all close our eyes? And I'm going to pray, firstly, for those that would like to ask Jesus into their life. Say it silently in your heart. I'll give space for you to do that. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross for me, to set me free from my sins. I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. With our eyes still closed, I'm going to pray now for those that would like to reconnect again with Jesus. And I just want you to imagine Jesus in the car of your life, driver, seat, and passenger seat, You're used to being in the driver's seat. I want you to put Jesus in the driving seat and you become the passenger. Let Jesus take the wheel of your life. Lord Jesus, I want you in the driving seat of my life. I want to grow closer to you. I want to learn. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and show me what to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, please feel free to open your eyes. If you've made that decision today, I've got something for you and I want to encourage you. So please come and see me during pudding or afterwards. And the cards, the little verse cards on your table, I hope they're meaningful to you. I prayed that each one would be just exactly right for that person. So, and don't forget, the team that are here would be happy to see you if you wanted to see them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. I think it's always quite difficult when you're a member of a group to come and share like that. Jackie, you've just come and shared from your very heart. And I think the big thing is it's never too late to come into that relationship with Jesus. So, you know, if you felt God speaking, please do come and speak to Jackie or one of the group tonight, this afternoon, not tonight. We really would just love that. So thank you, Jackie.